And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Mike Malevsky here at Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. It's my great pleasure to welcome someone in from the Palmer Police Department. I'm going to ask her to share with you, the listener, her name and position. Go for it.
I'm Whitney Daw, the dispatch supervisor over 9G Base.
Okay. Now, that's Palmer Dispatch. And I know that there are listeners there that are really looking forward to hearing you describe Palmer Dispatch, because over the years, there's been this kind of back and forth with another dispatch center that's over there to the west. So maybe you could, to begin with, describe what happens in the Palmer Dispatch. What area is covered, for example, and then we'll walk through scenarios.
So the Palmer Dispatch Center, 9G Base, we specifically dispatch for the Palmer Police Department. So police services only. The city of Palmer covers about 6 square miles, which is pretty small in the grand scheme of things. The Matsu Borough itself is about the size of West Virginia.
Right.
And so we're a tiny blip. That's not to say that, you know, our center isn't, you know, pretty steady in call volume coming in, and our officers aren't going from, you know, various calls throughout.
Because as I understand, and I've talked to people from the police department, the fire department, that basically you don't come up to the edge of the town if something has happened just over, or in fact, you may be asked.
Oh yeah. So frequently we receive what they're called agency assists. And so our dispatch will be dispatching our units outside of the city, whether that is, you know, towards Trunk or out into the Butte. We generally don't go north towards Sutton. You know, AST has that area as well as the Chickaloon Tribal Department.
Got it.
And so we generally stay over Butte area, Palmer, Trunk.
Got it. Okay. So if there's someone who has need of police response, and police, what about the ambulance service?
So fire and EMS, they are dispatched by MATCOM.
Okay.
So anybody who calls 911, the call will be initially triaged through MATCOM. They'll determine whether or not it is needing fire, EMS, or law enforcement. If it's law enforcement, it's transferred to us directly.
And if it happens to be in this area.
If it's in this area. If they determine it's fire or EMS, they will keep that call and dispatch the appropriate apparatus.
Okay. You've used another term that has been thrown about and people have heard it, MATCOM. What is MATCOM? Where is it and who runs that?
So MATCOM dispatch is, I want to say downtown Wasilla, but it's across from, you know, Target and Walgreens.
Right.
That's where they're located.
Okay.
So they are with the city of Wasilla, and they dispatch for the Alaska State Troopers, Wasilla Police, and the borough.
Okay. We know that the city of Palmer operates 9G Base. Who operates MATCOM?
It's city of Wasilla.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the city of Wasilla has that. And that leaves the troopers. If there is something that happens outside of Wasilla or Palmer, somewhere in the borough, MATCOM will be the dispatch for the troopers as well. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Now, that hasn't always been the way, as I remember. I've been around long enough to know once upon a time, the city of Palmer had a broader role or more area to cover and more entities to dispatch. Do you have some sense of when that changed?
So it's changed over a couple different periods. You know, long ago, the Palmer Police Department, they dispatched at some point for actually like Wasilla Police Department. The state troopers had their own dispatch center,
okay.
I believe, in Anchorage.
Right.
And then we had dispatched for the borough, which included fire and EMS and Palmer Fire. That's only been a recent change within the last 5 years.
Okay. Okay, but that's where we are today. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about someone here. They have a choice, as I understand. I utilize services, I recall. There are a couple of different numbers you can call. You've mentioned 911. If I call 911, I'm going to speak to MedCom. But I could call Palmer Police Department on another line.
Yeah, so a number that we advertised quite a bit last year, I'm not sure if you're familiar with some of the outages that we were having with right. one of our phone systems. It affected both us and MatCom, and so it just kind of knocked out 911 services entirely. We advertised our, what we call it, the backdoor number to dispatch, and it's public. We've posted it on our Facebook. It's 907-746-9449.
Okay.
And that number will dial directly in, and you'll be able to speak with a dispatcher and avoid a phone tree. We did encourage people to save it just in the event that 911 did go down.
Right.
You know, knock on wood, that doesn't happen. But things do happen, and so that's a good number to save.
Okay. So let's go to the functional use of the numbers. Scenario is I'm here. I need to contact the police department in Palmer. Because I'm in Palmer, if I were to call 911 and MatCom, they would do their professional business and know that I'm here once they've identified it, and then they'd ship the call to you. So if I'm aware of that and know that someone from Palmer Police will respond, then it seems to me I can be more quickly served by using that number.
So I would always encourage to dial 911 if you're having an emergency. However, that other number that I provided, I mean, it can be used, especially if, you know, you're quick with your phone contacts and you can just dial it, or it's pre-programmed, that's perfectly fine. But 911 would probably be my first.
Right. 911 is sort of burned into people's mind. And, you know, what to do? Call 911. I've got it. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. So let's get personal here. Tell me how long you've been with this service.
I have been with the Palmer Police Department, specifically in dispatch, for 10 years.
10 years. Okay. And what did you bring to that job when you first started?
I was a total dispatch newbie. I came from a background of basically various administrative duties and a barista at a coffee shop in Eagle River.
Okay. All right. I'm just curious because this leads into the next question. Do you ever need new people to be hired?
Yeah, so with dispatching specifically and public safety, there's constant turnover or people advancing into different positions. So finding fresh blood can be hard.
Right.
It's definitely interesting. We do offer sit-ins, so people can come in, check out what kind of like an average day is like, and you might find that it's just not for you, especially for dispatch. You're on the phone, sitting in a chair, staring at, we have six screens. So you're staring at six screens with at least five different programs open in front of you, talking on the phone all day in a room that has no windows. So that might not be for everyone.
Okay, well put. But let's go a bit further with that. What I understand is then you're encouraging someone to, if they're thinking they would be interested, to check it out by probably doing a sit-in, talking to people, seeing what it's about. And so we're sending that out. If you're a listener and this is something you've heard about or thought about, then check it out.
Yeah, definitely call the police department, get something scheduled. I'm open to it as long as staffing allows. Lucky for me right now, we are fully staffed.
Okay.
I have six full-time dispatchers who are currently employed and six on-call dispatchers.
Okay. Let's talk about the six screens and the computers, et cetera, that's mm-hmm. driving it. Over the 10 years, have you had an evolution of the equipment you're using? Talk a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. So 911 has definitely changed over the years. In some agencies, actually, around the state, down in the lower 48, still use pen and paper for computer-aided dispatch. And so what that program does is tracks where your patrol units are, what they're doing, if they're on a call. And basically, it's called using cards. And that's pen and paper, documenting, you know, who they talked to, who the caller was, and what happened, start to finish. Now we use a fancy program. There's all sorts of programs out there to document it through the computer.
Got it.
And that's just one of them. You know, the phones are always changing, different, you know, report writing systems. So it just kind of depends.
I guess as I'm thinking about what you're saying, I'm thinking, oh, would be nice to have a screen that showed where the units were that were responding and then where the calls were coming from.
And our programs do that. So in a, you know, a perfect world where our IT is above and beyond, but, you know, we are in Alaska, so sometimes sure. things are a little bit lagging. But essentially, we do take the call information. If it's a 911, it will give us what's called an Annie Alley, and it will have the latitude and longitude.
Okay.
And that should pinpoint pretty accurately where the caller is calling from a wireless phone. And so if it's a landline, it should be tied to the house directly. And so we're able to see where that call was generated. Some agencies do have fancy MDTs, mobile data terminals, and they can track where units are. We do not have that function.
Okay, so that leads me to the question, what would you like to be added to this collection of devices that you're using, or what would you most need to make your job more effective?
Again, a big wish list. The MDTs would be great one day.
Okay.
But right now we are working on obtaining a new updated phone system, ourselves and MatCom, jointly are working towards that goal. And so I'm hoping that we have that by the end of the year, and, maybe some improved CAD systems, but.
Okay. So I am aware that people generally have cell phones. And I know that the cell phone has come a long way to be maybe a backup, maybe a primary way of communicating. I know that officers have phones as well as having radios. I know that in the past there have been some concern about radios because trying to get everybody to be able to talk to one another, whether you were police, fire, ambulance, or different service, was sometimes problematic. So today, talk a little bit about those two ways of communicating. Are radios in a situation right now so they're both reliable and comprehensive? And how often do you use cell phones?
So there's actually a healthy mix of both. Okay. So fortunately, we have a great radio technician, Jim Goodman. He actually works through the fire department.
Okay.
And he helps our patrol officers, our police department, with all of our radio needs as well. And he's working to basically get us like the best of the best that we can use. We have a couple dead zones throughout the city though, and that's really out of our hands, unless, you know, towers change and a couple other technical things.
Right.
I know if our officers are in the middle of, say, Fred Meyer, they might not easily get out. And so we do rely heavily on being able to contact them through their cell phones. But
right. Talk about call volume. I'm sure that it varies from time to time. Does it? Think about it looking like summer almost out there. And then there's winter. Are there particular times of year when call volume is much heavier than others or times of day?
Definitely. So you'd kind of be surprised just looking at our stats. It'll be like a random Tuesday or Thursday where suddenly, you know, people might be a little bit more frisky, and maybe it's the weather or they're bored, but it just kind of depends. It's not always weather related or time of year. Right now, I feel like people are a little preoccupied with, you know, some sunshine, so there's a little bit of a lull in the call volume, but anywhere on average, our dispatch center will bring in 40 to 50 calls in a day, and that's just the phone calls. So we keep track of basically calls, which would be CAD incidents, a little bit differently. So the phone is pretty steady when it comes to ringing into dispatch.
Okay. So that also leads me to the question, when you talk about statistics and you're thinking about the kinds of calls you have, what's the one type of call that you get more than others? Or can you even say that?
Yeah, so in Palmer, I would say we actually have quite a bit of welfare checks.
Okay.
I would say that was probably one of our highest ones right now, whether it is, you know, and I say welfare checks as like a general term because, you know, we've got people who will call about, you know, a child in the car and it's a hot sunny day, but the same goes with, you know, a dog that's been left in the vehicle.
Right.
And then I know we've had a couple concerns with different transient people through the city, and so we'll get welfare checks on them as well.
Okay, very good. Mike Malevsky here at Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. And I've been speaking to the, tell me your, once again, your title.
Dispatch Supervisor.
Dispatch Supervisor for the Palmer Police Department. You've answered all the questions that I have thrown at you. Is there any comments you'd like to make for listeners before we do finish?
Nothing in particular other than enjoy your summer and stay safe. And, you know, if you're ever interested in dispatching, and come check it out. You can call the number I provided, 907-746-9449, or stop by. We're open to meeting
you. So that leads, I have to ask the last question. Where are you? Where is your dispatch center?
So we are kind of tucked in a hole in the wall of the back part of the Palmer Police Department. So if you're not familiar with the PD, it is connected to Matsu Pretrial. The address is 423 South Valley Way. And it looks kind of like a cave. It's just a dark room in the back, no windows. But we are back there. We're downtown Palmer and happy to serve the community.
All right. Thank you, Wendy. Thanks for...
No, thanks for having me.
Yeah, doing all that work over those years and then coming in to share that.
Thank you.
Yep. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.